Take a little break from Tanya, and we'll talk a little bit about Tefillah. These are the parshios of Tefillah, and in this week's parsha, we don't have the classic Yitzchak Tefillah, that's the parsha of Chayisara, Ve'etzi Yitzchak Lasuach Basada, but there is a moment of Tefillah in the beginning of the parsha, because Rivka is barren, and there's no children, and according to Chazal, at least 10 years are up, and things are getting a little hairy. So Vayetar Yitzchak Lenochach Ishto Ki Akarahi. Vayetar Yitzchak Lenochach Ishto Ki Akarahi. What does this pasuk teach us about tefillah? Vayetar Yitzchak Lenochach Ishto Ki Akarahi. So the simple reading of the word Le'etar, even though Rashi says it means a lot, but an eter, ayin tafresh, is a hoe, is a shovel, something you would use to turn over ground. And Chazal already sensed this. Why would the Torah be using a shovel imagery to describe Yitzchak's tefillah? Very simple. Vayeta Yitzchak lenochach ishto reish lakish amar shehafach es hagezerah. The lashon of the Medrash. Tefillah is many things. Tefillah is reflexive. That's why we use the word mispalel, because it affects you. It's a chance to contemplate, to meditate, to purge yourself. But tefillah also affects HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ways that we can't imagine, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omniscient and omnipotent. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to my tefillah? Why would he be able to change reality that he set in motion way before? And Toldos is already starting to teach us. Remember, Avram wasn't able to change reality with his tefillahs. Unfortunately, his tefillahs failed for stone. So there are other reasons he davened. But this is the first time in human history that we witnessed tefillahs actually changing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. Remember way back in Bereishis, where Lemech told his wives, why are you separating from me, as Rashi said, and even though you know that there's a curse of Cain hanging over my head, well, Cain lived seven generations, I'll live Shiva, time you come Cain, I'll live more. The people didn't realize, don't just try to calculate how long you can live based on, try to change Hashem's will, try to daven. Why didn't everyone try to daven to change the curse of Cain? Everyone's just trying to calculate, well, let's see, there's a curse, but don't be too worried, because Cain lasted seven generations, just daven. It didn't dawn on the human imagination that you could alter HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will through tefillah until the Avos introduced it. And this is the first time that we witness one of our Avos, in this case, of an Ima, Yitzchak and Rivka, changing Hashem's will. Vayetar Yitzchak lenochach ishto ki akarahi. So it's something which don't ever forget, especially we're living in times which we need a lot of tefillahs. And tefillahs can change Hashem's will. Unfortunately, yesterday there was a terrible attack in Yerushalayim, and someone passed away and was killed, and other people were injured, and it's a very, very tense time. So keep that in your tefillahs. I know when you're young, it's hard to really imagine things that you're davening for fervently, because Baruch Hashem, life is very smooth, and you don't have that much on your mind, but at least being in Eretz Yisrael, there's really a lot to daven for. And who knows what events next week may or may not happen that could be averted based on your tefillah. So Tasha, when you get to the parts of tefillah that have to do with Eretz Yisrael, like Esemach David Avdecha, Vidu Shalayim Ircha, Shema Aleinu, some of those tefillahs, Esk Hashem An Hashem Matzlicha, now that Hashem should give us a calmer week next week. That's one reason the Torah uses the word Vayetar, Shehafach, Reish Lakish, Shehafach Esagzera. Another reason, which is implicit, you don't need Reish Lakish, is that tefillahs work. When you shovel, when you furrow, when you plow, you're working hard. This is hard work tefillah. It's not arbitrary that Chazal referred to it based on the pasuk tefillah as avodah shebelev. So tefillah's work. It's work in the physical manner. It's work in an emotional strain, obviously, to try to focus your energies. As we said before, let's not work so much on kavanah, because kavanah is very elusive. Let's just focus on the hard work of tefillah, of getting here on time, getting up in the morning. The late minyanim, I know that my hardest, getting up in the morning isn't so hard for me, but that, man, when I get home after a wedding and I haven't davened tefillah, and I'm exhausted, and I finally come home, and the last tefillah in the community is at 11 o'clock at night, and I've got to drive across town, that's when you feel it, when you'd rather crumple up into bed and go to sleep, or when I just landed Monday, and I was exhausted, I came to tefillah. So tefillah is hard. Again, it's hard emotionally. But let's put the emotions aside right now, because I think the more you work on kavanah, the harder it is. Let's just work on the hard work of tefillah. Just think to yourself, when's the last time you went to a minyan when it was hard? May have been this morning, which is great. Continue to build those muscles. Tefillah is like muscle memory. If you do it for a couple of years, it becomes second nature. And then you just settle in, and it's part of your life, and you just become a Beis HaKnesses person. You go to tefillah your whole life. So that's why we're so insistent on davening patterns here. You're really building the muscles. You're just building, this is what I do, and I get up, and I don't miss it, and I'm consistent, and I go in the afternoon, and I go at night. It's just that once you have it, it's muscle memory, and you just do it instinctively, and you become, becomes part of your daily routine. So there's a hard work ethic that's being described in this language of Vayetar. Now, there's another, third reason to Vayetar. Chazal say, this is all in the Medrash, that in Arabia, in Arabic, the ayin and het, because they're both guttural, ayin and het, they're both guttural, right? Thank you, Ronnie. They're all like, we're not racist in this room. We just smile, in a bigoted fashion at our one smarty boy. Whenever I say something that, right? Guys, it's Thanksgiving, a little less racism, okay? Okay. Don't take it too seriously, Josh. They mean well. They didn't mean it. It's just kid stuff. Okay, so the ayin and the chet can be alternated because they're both guttural sounds. So the vayetar in Arabic, the Medrash says, can be read as vayachator. What does vayachator mean? So vayachator, the Medrash says, comes from the word machteras, a tunnel. So not just digging a furrow, like a little ditch in the ground, but tunneling. Why would you be tunneling? So listen to the following Medrash. Reb Levi Amar. Reb Levi is one of the great Balei HaMedrash. Reb Levi Amar, Masha, one of the Talmidim of Rebbe. Right, there's a famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah where Rebbe turned to his Talmidim and said, what do you want to learn next? And Levi said, Mishlei. And there's a big debate, like, can the Rabbanim force the Talmidim to learn? Can the Talmidim force the Rabbanim to learn? Spoiler alert, I can force you to learn whatever I want. Except for the month before Yom Tovim, you can force me to learn Dina Yom Tovim, Gemara Bava Metzia. So if we want to go and learn Uksin, right, and Rabbi Soloveitchik, Shiris, here of Lichtenstein was a very compassionate Rosh Hashiva. So whenever we had to decide what to learn the next month, we'd take a vote. And it was very democratic, and everyone would have an easy vote, and we were all equal, very American. Not so for the Rav. The Rav would take votes, and he would always say, this is a democracy, but my vote counts more than anyone else. And he'd be learning Uksin, and he'd be learning Bechoros, and he'd be taking the boys off into who knows where. So if I wanted to, I could teach you Uksin now, but we're going to focus on an easy sugya like Cheskas Aguf, right? Good luck with that with Cheskas Aguf. Anyway, so Rabbi Levi Amar Mashal Ben Malachim. It's like a prince who wants some of his father's money, but he's embarrassed to ask. So what he does is at night he starts tunneling and digging a little underground tunnel to get to his father's treasury just to take money that, you know, he's just too embarrassed to ask. Thing is, the father has cased out the situation. He knows the son is tunneling, but he doesn't get angry because he wants his son to have some money. So he starts tunneling. And he tunnels and he tunnels, and they meet in the middle. Look, lo and behold, I only had to dig half the tunnel. We met in the middle. Vayetar means vayechatar. What's the nimshal? The nimshal, Levi says, is obvious. They're two individuals, not two individuals, but two beings davening. You're davening, but on the other side of the tunnel, your father's davening. And just as much as you want what you're asking for, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants what you're asking for. And vayetar should be read as vayachator, not just to plow, but to dig a tunnel, because tefillah is bilateral. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't some angry, distant, transcendent, authoritarian God who has to be appeased by throwing virgins on the altar and offering tithes and gifts so that you can appease and soothe his anger so that he'll grant you some mercy. No, what you want for yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants even more for you. And whatever you're davening for, you're not alone. You're davening along with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a two-way street. There's a bilateralism to tefillah. So whenever you feel like you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and davening and it's hard to get your kavanah, just remember there's another being davening alongside of with you. It's a joint effort. You have a chavrusa with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're davening and he's davening. Milashon vayachator. So those are three interesting ideas to keep in mind when you daven based on vayetar. Number one is to convert Hashem's will. Number two is to work at it. Number three is bilateral. The final thing I want to highlight for you is who's he davening next to? Lenochach ishto. So they're probably davening at different parts of the room. This is one of the earliest sources for a mechitza, to have some separation between men and women when they daven. Lenochach ishto, they're aware of one another, they're facing each other, but they're not liat ishto, lenochach ishto. Now, what does the Medrash say, lenochach ishto? Why do we care? So the Medrash says as follows. Lenochach ishto, malami shahay Yitzchak shatuach kan. Yitzchak was in that corner, maybe prostrating on the ground, davening. Vehishtu chakan, Rivka was in the other corner. Veomer, and Yitzchak says, Ribono shel olam, kol banim sha'ata nosin li Yihu min ha-tzedekes hazu. I wish, I don't want, you all right?
Yeah.
Oh, careful, okay. Don't work too hard, guys, okay? Yitzhak is facing the real prospect that he'll have to go the route of Avram. If Rivka doesn't have a child, he's going to have a hugger. Who's this hugger going to be? He's panicking. His father had to take Hagar, and that opened the floodgates, and they had children. Yitzhak doesn't want that. He says, I just want this woman to be the mother of my children. She's the tzedekes. Afi Amrakein. She says the same thing. Banim shatas elit lam efs and children. Maybe he'll have to divorce me. I'll go back to Ram Narayim, and I'll marry someone. I don't know who I'll marry. I'll have children. I want my children to be. Lenochach ishto means they were aware of each other's presence in the room. And interestingly enough, they each saw each other as the biggest tzaddik. She saw him as the tzaddik she wanted to have children with. He saw her as the tzaddik she wanted to have children with. So there are two messages here before we get back to tefillah. One message is about marriage. Okay, marriage is about affirmation. Marriage is about looking up to the other person. So if you see your wife as a tzaddikus and she sees you as a tzaddik, you're in good shape. But getting back to tefillah is, it's called, who are you in the room with when you're davening? And davening is a team effort. And when you're in the room with people that you look up to and you feel privileged to daven with, and you feel there are tzaddikim in the room with you, it doesn't have to be great tzaddikim, maybe people, again, that's why makom kavua and minyan kavua is so crucial, because tefillah is not just words, it's space, and it's not just space, it's people. And when you daven with people that are your community and you feel aligned with, it lends a layer to tefillah that you can't recreate in a minyan factory or slipping into a side room. I'm trying to highlight all these nuanced areas of tefillah, because a tefillah is just a minyan saying kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Doesn't make a difference whether you're in a shul or you're in a street. Doesn't make a difference whether you come to the 7 o'clock minyan or whether you come to the 8:15 minyan, just in time for shir. Or 10 years from now, it doesn't make a difference. You'll scatter your tefillah so you're coming in out. There's so many more elements to the experience of tefillah, and the more color it has and the more layers you appreciate, the more you're able to bring, as I keep telling you, so much to tefillah, even if there's no kavanah in your head. Kavanah is the hardest thing in today's world. Don't pitch the success of your tefillah whether you have kavanah. It's an experience, it's collective, it's space, it's historical, and respect the experience, even if you can't bring internal emotions to it, and that'll help you tefillah. Okay, we are starting, continuing to slowly